Welcome to Taboo Topic. Long time no here, my friends. I know it's been a minute, but I'm back. I'm back better than ever, with my life settled down finally. With that said, I have a good episode for you today. We're going to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse and what's not being said. I've written a column about it, and I'm going to read you what I wrote later on. But before I do, I want to remind everyone, speaking of columns, you can follow and read future newsletters by typing in Kenshin296.substack.com. I repeat, Kenshin296.substack.com. You can also follow me on Instagram by typing in Kenshin_Express. I repeat, Kenshin_Express. And then last but not least, you can also follow me on Facebook by typing in Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. This is Taboo Topic, a place where we dare to question the narrative and think out loud. In order to think, we have to risk being offensive. A place where free speech triumphs your safe space. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. This is your Thinking Out Loud monologue. This monologue is straight from my column, so if you want to go ahead and read this for yourself, you can type in Kenshin296.substack.com. With that said, here you go. The Rittenhouse public trial is two worldviews coming to a collision course. 2 years of polarization, 2 years of division, and there is one young man who stands in the middle of it all. The right will paint him as another example of how institutions have an agenda, from media, big tech, to our own government. Maybe they are right. I tend to believe this. It's possible the right will champion him a hero, too. Just for being there. The left sees this as another example of white supremacy. He's already a villain to them. Both will use this to promote their ideology. Both will use Kyle as a pawn. There could be good intentions somewhere in this jungle, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Hell spends truth to gain advantage no matter the cost. The truth is something we must seek for ourselves. I will not participate in their games. There are concrete facts we must acknowledge. What has been proven? It's been proven. He's not a white supremacist. This is not an example of racism. All the parties involved were white. He did not seek to kill people. The people he killed and injured was a result of self-defense. The obvious was displayed when one of the prosecution's own witness couldn't deny Kyle didn't raise his weapon until he did and charged him. The night was a reflection of the chaos that had spurred since the death of George Floyd. That is the truth. This is not about whether or not there was a reason to be there. Frankly, I understand both spectrums. Should people be playing hero? Why not let the professionals handle it? Is there a moral obligation to assist the professionals when they are clearly outnumbered and the situation is out of their control? That could be another conversation for a different day. In fact, I'd argue that's a debate we ought to have. I digress. The only thing I can't stop thinking about is how Kyle could have been spared from the drama if his father was present. Where was his father in all of this? Kyle Rittenhouse is from a single family home. This is not an indictment on his mother or single mothers. His mother seemed to have do the best she could to raise him. However, there's only so much she can do that ultimately only another man can teach Kyle how to be a man. This man would be his father. If his father was present from the start, using his maternal instinct to protect his son and mother, all of this would have been avoided. His dad should be the one answering the decision to take a life, not Kyle. His dad should have been the one out there instructing Kyle to remain at his house. Kyle was perhaps over his head. I reflect back on the scene from the Gran Torino when Clint Eastwood told the young man, Tao, to stay behind while he confronted people who shot up their home. Granted, Kyle is older than him, and Tao wanted revenge. Yet for Tao, Clint Eastwood was his role model for being a man. A man who used his God-given aggression to protect people whom he cared for, including leading them out of harm's way. Kyle had no guidance. If not his dad, then what about the men who were with him? Why didn't any of them step up to tell Kyle to stay behind? What happened to letting the grown-ups handling complicated matters? You know, let the grown-ups handle it? Kyle Rittenhouse will have to live with the fact he took another soul for the rest of his life. He has to endure the lies about him from corporate media. Kyle is the one answering for his decision to use deadly force. He's the one dealing with public scrutiny. Kyle was 17 when he pulled the trigger, so it's safe to assume he's probably 18 now. The mom can only watch his entire world coming down on him. Imagine if you were his mother. Picture if you were him at his age. The men in his life failed him. The men also failed his mother. Men are called to be leaders and protectors. That's where the anger needs to be directed towards. This is the conversation to have. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. Hope you enjoyed the Thinking Out Live monologue. By all means, let me know through the social media platforms what you thought of. With that said, let's just dive into it, shall we? Because I really want to have this conversation. I want to have the conversation of where were the men in his life? Where were the men in his mother's life? Because if I'm not mistaken, his mother was the one who drove him over there. How come not a single man told the mother to stop driving in this direction? How come no one told Kyle to turn his ass around or get in the car with him and drive him back home? Or even before they got there, why didn't anyone tell this young man to stay behind? Let the grown-ups handle it. Now I understand Kyle knows how to function a weapon. It's pretty clear he can use a weapon. And I'm not trying to, you know, be a jokester when I say that. He knows how to handle a weapon. That's not a shocker. That's not a secret. But he's never been put in an environment like that, to where he actually has to use that weapon for self-defense. Never. Never had to make that split-second decision to take a life. He's 17 and no combat experience. And I say that because there are 17 and 18-year-olds who have taken that life as a result of being in the military or, in some cases, the police force. Kyle didn't have any of that. From what I am guessing, the most experience he had shooting a weapon was controlled environments. That's not the same thing as being out in the streets where people are burning buildings down, destroying livelihoods, beating people up, and killing each other as well. It's not the same thing. And the fact that no man, during that whole period, that whole night, stepped up to prevent him from being in this situation, is an indictment on not only the men in his life, but just our culture as a whole. What is going on with us? We're having an identity crisis, it seems. We have this competitive force right now that's trying to emasculate men, teach that any form of aggression is bad, is toxic, right? Toxic masculinity. Then you have the other side, a dying breed, if you will, the alpha male that wants to use that aggression to lead people out of harm's way and protect, be that protector in their families, in their communities, in the state, and nation. That's a dying breed. I say that as you see a lot of these school board meetings, majority of them are mothers talking. I wonder where the fathers are there. I wonder where the fathers or men, when it comes to these bigger societal issues. Where are we? How can we prevent something like this happening again? This is something that I'm learning as well, by the way. I'm not going to come on here and preach to you as if I have all the answers and figured everything out. I'm still learning, too. Because we've had generations now where men or boys are growing up without a father figure in the house, or they don't have a good father figure or male role model, right? A good role model to look to teach them how to be a man. And society is now trying to push this idea that you don't need a man to teach a boy how to be a man. That it's okay for a mother to do it. And I'm not saying mother can't do it. She can, but should she? Is the question. Should women be the ones teaching boys how to be a man? Which I'll rephrase that to see, so you know how weird and stupid it sounds. But imagine if I asked the question, should a man teach a girl how to be a woman? Sounds weird, doesn't it? When you reverse the roles? But society is saying that. That not only is it not needed, but should be encouraged for the mother to teach boys how to be men. And there's only so much, like I said in the article, that a mother can do to teach that boy how to be a man, that the only true way for a boy to learn how to be a man is from another man. But the problem is, even the men that are present, a lot of them are not being good role models for them. Some are abusive. Some choose their profession over their families. Some are more interested in letting their sexual identity take priority over their family, or take priority in teaching a boy how to be a man and what masculinity looks like. We're not seeing, that's what we're seeing mostly. The problems we're having in our nation is a result of the men not stepping up. The men not fulfilling that role of responsibility to be the protector and lead people out of harm's way. That's what we ought to be doing right now. That's how we can prevent something like Kyle Rittenhouse from happening again. I feel bad for that kid. And some may say, oh, he's old enough to sign up for the draft. Oh, he's old enough to hold a gun anyway. Why do you feel sorry for him? He made that decision to be there that night. In which I respond with this question. Do you think you had all the answers when you were 17 and 18? Looking back now, Do you think of yourself back when you were 17 and 18, how foolish some of your thoughts were back then, thinking that you knew all the answers? When you're that age, the world's more black and white for you. There's no nuance to situations. I look back on myself when I was 17 and 18, and I cringe thinking about it. I wonder how some of the adults put up with me at that time. Frankly, if I was one of the adults, I probably would have been annoyed at myself, but that's a different story. But in seriousness, if I were in the room with Kyle that night, or I saw Kyle in the streets at that moment, seeing how young he was. I mean, he's got the baby face look, for crying out loud. He does not look that old. He looks like he's still in high school. I'm not sure if he's still in high school. He may be in high school, as a matter of fact, right? Go into a dangerous situation and you have your whole life ahead of you. I would like to say that I would be that guy that would say, to tell his ass to stay home or take his ass back home, if anything, if I saw him in the streets. I would like to say that would be that guy, but I wasn't there. So I'm just left wondering, where were the people in his life? Where were the men in his life? I wish I could have been that guy. But I was back in good old San Antonio when that happened. And frankly, I'll be honest too, I didn't really know much about this case until the trial actually started, excuse me. I didn't really know much about it. I heard like bits and pieces here and there. I knew that left championed him or villainized him. And I thought that was bullshit. And the right was using that as another example of how there's an agenda with the institutions, if you will, with the elite class. Some have championed him a hero for just being there that night for the reasons that he was there for, which I guess the original intent was to provide medical assistance to anyone, and he brought a gun to protect himself. But I call bullshit on calling him a hero too, for that matter. You have the left and right, and you have Kyle right in the middle of it all. And I'm gonna kind of steal an analogy from a show that I watched called The Pat McAfee Show. So Pat McAfee, I'm gonna make sure you get the credit for this analogy, but I imagine Kyle Rittenhouse in the middle, then you have people on the right, you have people to the left, and they're just screaming at each other. The left is saying, "Oh my gosh! He's absolutely terrible! He's a white supremacist! He's a monster!" Then you have the right that says, "No! If anything, he's a hero! And if not, it's the media's fault, the institutions, the government! It's all a conspiracy!" And left will respond back, like, "No, it's a conspiracy against the colored people." Even though, by the way, I find it really weird that this somehow became an issue of white supremacy when all the people involved in the situation were white. I'm not entirely sure how even colored people, minorities, right? From black to brown to yellow, how they somehow started caring about white on white issues. To this extent, to the point where we'll get upset if they don't get a certain result because it's a reflection of racism now? What? It makes no sense to me. I'm sorry. It just makes no sense to me. But the amount of crap he has to endure now. Genuinely breaks my heart. It hurts to see someone. When I saw that clip, it hurts to see someone being in that much pain. And you can tell he's in pain right now. He's gone through a lot in the last year and a half. Our country has gone through a lot in the last year and a half. Almost 2 years. And I think a lot of this can be solved if we encourage men to be men. And I would ask any woman who's listening out there that if there's men in your life, I encourage you to allow them to just embrace that masculinity. That's okay to let the man take charge every now and then. As long as he's not asking you to do anything abusive or hurtful or against the law, criminal, if you will, it's okay to let the man take lead every now and then. It's okay to let the man of the house, if you will, take care of some of the responsibilities of parenthood, including teaching his son or sons manly things. Teaching them manly things. And again, I'm learning this as I go. I haven't figured it out. I haven't figured everything out, but this is stuff I'm learning. Everything I'm telling you right now is like, as I'm learning, this is what I've learned so far during this journey. That at one point in my life, I also had the perception that being passive was the manly thing to do, if you will. At one point, that's what I thought. But in reality, I was running responsibility that God had called me to be. And this gets into the Christian worldview. So if you're not religious, just bear with me. If anything, I appreciate this worldview. But the way God designed us, we were given this aggression trait. Biologically speaking, from God. And it's been confused with somehow any form of aggression is toxic now. It's been confused with abusers and people who abuse their power, right? Tyrannical, if you will. But when, like I said earlier, aggression could also be used in good. Can be used to protect people and leave people out of harm's way. Take charge, if you will, right? Do good without aggression. But instead, we've just taken aggression, just said that's all of that is bad, and thus emasculate a lot of men, and that's the perception I had at one point. When you have that perception, which a lot of men are starting to gain, Kyle Rittenhouse happens. The chaos that ensued in cities last year and at certain points this year with the riots and destruction of buildings and cities and livelihoods, etc. That's the result of passive men in their lives. The emasculation of men. Excuse me. There's a saying I'm going to finish off with. In saying, strong men create good times, but weak men create hard times. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break to close things out. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. I just want to thank everyone for tuning into today's episode. It's available on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. So by all means, if you want to leave a review, please leave a review. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what you have to say. If it's anything less than 5 stars, I want to know how I could better serve you. With that said, come back on Friday for the weekly review. It's going to be a good one. Until then, hope you have a good rest of your Wednesday. God bless. Thank you.